Good morning. The scripture before the message is 2 John, beginning in verse 1. To the lady chosen by God, and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever.
Just give me one second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Hey.
Hi.
2 minutes. Thank you. Hi. Good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Oi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that.
Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive.
First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot. For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skills. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts.
You must be able to wear several hats.
Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night.
Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that.
With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
Right, but when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually
currently holds this position right now?
Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh, my God. Moms are the best.
Yes, no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
So, I'm about 12 years old, and one night my family decided to go to a movie. and I'm the oldest of three. I have a younger brother who's 3 years younger than me and a sister who's 7 years younger than me. So we go see a movie. I don't even remember what it was. But after the movie, we do what every family does after you go to the movie. We went to the bathroom. And so we're in the bathroom, and the way it was set up is there's a big kind of main area. There's the video games, all that kind of things like there are still. And it's separated by a big atrium. So guys on one side, girls on the other. So me, my dad, my brother, we go to our side, my sister, my mom, they go to the other. Now, I should preface by saying my mom doesn't have the best of memories, just in general. She's a little forgetful on things. I love her, but that's just kind of who she is. And she walks in with my five-year-old sister, and my sister at that time was 5 years old and blonde. I get out first of everyone, and so I'm kind of looking across the atrium, make sure, you know, mom and sister get out okay. My mom comes out with a three-year-old brunette child. I'm thinking, you know, she is kind of forgetful, so I guess just the bottom fell out. Like, this is it. Good run, Mom. But you've kind of lost it here. And so I keep watching, and I try to kind of motion to her, that's not my sister. Like, put her back. Put her back. Go grab my sister. After this, I keep looking, and my sister comes out, and she's right behind my mom, and she's acting really normal, as in she knows what's going on. So I'm thinking, okay, something's happening here. While she's holding this this little child, she's looking around, and I realize that this child has wandered off. And somehow this little three-year-old girl either took too long in the bathroom and mom went without her, or she was allowed to go by herself. Whatever happened, while this girl was in the bathroom, she starts crying, and my mom took the initiative to pick this girl up and say, "Hey, sweetie, what's your name? Where's your mom? Do you know what she looks like?" And so she took her out, and it's shortly after that, a woman who has a double stroller, so she had like two other kids with her, goes and grabs her child. Turns out they had just accidentally been separated. My mom took the initiative to be brave enough to approach this girl and risk potential kidnapping accusations that could have come from this, because she saw that something needed to be done about this child who could not find her mom. That's the type of woman my mom was. Now, if we said, let's go around the room and we're going to talk about a different story that epitomizes your mother, we could be here for a long, long time. We could be here all day, right? There are so many different stories that we could say to show just how great so many of our mothers were. But there's something that I also want to point to, and this is something, our mother being a spiritual formative presence in our life is something that goes back to the Bible. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5, Paul, who's writing to Timothy, whom he refers to as my son in the faith, goes back to Timothy's own mother and grandmother. He says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." Now, the Fuller Youth Institute is the institute that is kind of the lead researchers in youth and children's ministries. They say that on average, the average child ends up adopting about 70% of their parents' faith. So take whatever your faith is, if you have a child, on average, your child will adopt 70% of it. Some of it's more, some of it's less. Now, they've also looked into the stats that a lot of people are leaving the church. And if you look at the way that stat runs, 70% is not bad. However, if that stat continues, then your child has 70, and then your grandchild has 70% of the 70%, and so on and so forth. So, in theory, it will theoretically dwindle and get smaller and smaller and smaller until faith in the world is almost non-existent. But they looked at the people who left the church. They started polling a lot of kids who grew up in church and then left church, left the faith. And all the answers were all over the place. So what they did was they said, let's come back and let's poll the people who stuck around. The kids who grew up in the church, they graduated and they remained active in their faith. Let's ask them and see what happens. Now, they also found a whole lot of different varieties of things that held true. But one thing they did find that did hold very true was this. Of all the people who stuck around, about 90% of the kids who stuck around and stayed strong in their faith, they could point to five influences in their life who had a profound impact spiritually on them who were not their mother or father. Five. And so the stats are, they skyrocket if it's more than just your parents. But a mother is where it can definitely start. And what I want to highlight this morning, as much as I love my own mother, as much as we want to appreciate our mothers, I want to highlight our spiritual mothers. Because some people might have a hard time with Mother's Day. I got word last night that my aunt, my dad's sister-in-law, passed away of a stroke last night. Very, very early. So Mother's Day for my two cousins is going to be really, really tough today. Some of you might be struggling with the same thing. Some of you might have had a really tough upbringing. Your mom was really, really hard on you or really difficult, and you have an estranged relationship. Some of you might have or know of someone who struggled with infertility. So Mother's Day is a really tough thing for you as well. And so there can be some hurtful things that can come to mind and into heart when that happens. But there's one thing that I think all of us can see and adhere to and connect with, and that is our spiritual mothers. The passage that we see this the most in is if you look in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now, the story of Ruth is really unique. If you ever get a chance, it only takes you about 10 minutes to read the whole book. Real short. So if you get a chance, really, really cool story. But I'll kind of summarize it leading up to this. So there was a man, sort of the patriarch of the family. He had two sons. And Ruth married one of those sons. The wife of the patriarch was Naomi, and then another woman named Orpah married the other son. Now, through a number of tragedies that happened, the patriarch dies, and so do his two sons, leaving Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Now, during this time and during this culture, a woman wasn't really capable, for the most part, of getting a job, unfortunately. And so, their best bet, if their husband died, was to go and marry someone else. And so that he could take care of them, and so that those women could bear children. Now, Naomi looks and realizes, I am at an age where I can no longer bear children. And so, but she looks at Ruth and Naomi, who were both still pretty young, and said, look, you all can be taken care of by another man. Go back to your hometowns where you came from. I love you all, and I want to take care of you, but I can't, okay? After you leave, I'm probably just going to wait till I starve out, and I'm going to die. And that was sort of the culture. That was the life. Unfortunately, that's how it worked. And Orpah hugged her, kissed her, and said, okay, I will do that. And she left. Now, Ruth grabbed on very tightly to Naomi, and Naomi says, again, Ruth, I cannot take care of you. I cannot care for you. I cannot provide for you. There's nothing I can do to help you. And Ruth replies with this. She says, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Something I want to point out about this passage is that Ruth did not commit to God. A lot of people love this passage. Look at how committed Ruth is. Yeah, she's committed. It's not to God. Who is it? It's Naomi, right? It's Naomi. She's committing to Naomi. Now, in essence, she was committing to God because Naomi followed God. Just like how Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So Ruth, in essence, is following the example, but how profound is it that when we commit to following a person who is following God, we are in essence following God ourselves. And so there's something that's super impactful about this. I'm not going to go super long this morning. I'm actually fairly close to being done because it's Mother's Day, one, and with that also means that we want to beat the Baptists to all the Buffalo Wild Wings restaurants, obviously, because, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings and Texas Roadhouse, that's where all moms want to go for Mother's Day, right? So, I'm not going to go super long, though. But I did want to highlight this. Something I did this past week, I posted on my Facebook and just wanted to see what would happen. I said, I want you to tell me about your spiritual mothers. And I wanted to see who would respond. I had a whole lot of different people from different backgrounds respond, but I had a few that I wanted to read from this morning. Some people who wrote some things about spiritual mothers, people whom they are not related to, or whom they are not blood related to, who had a profound impact on their lives. The first one that I got an email the day after I posted this from Brenda Reinard. And she said, mine's name was Helen. I met her when I was about 8 months pregnant with my first son. There was a peacefulness about her that had a calming effect on the craziness I had in my life. I became her other daughter, or her foster daughter. She called me Brenda, dear. She treated me with the same love, respect, and tenderness as she treated her very own son and daughter. My children were her grandchildren, and she loved them with all of her heart. She taught me to be a leader in our congregation, how to use my faith in times of turmoil, and how to be a better mom. She was always there when I needed a prayer, a friend, a mom. Watching her serve others that were in need, sad, sick, or whatever was going on in their lives, gave me a lifetime of examples I would later use to do the same, although I don't do it as well as she did. She loved God with all of her heart. Every single day, she read her Bible and found passages that would bring tears as well as laughter to her eyes. Everything in her life was a lesson and a gift from God, and she was never ashamed to love him out loud. What was really cool about the story is Brenda died about a year or so ago, and when she died, she actually, not Brenda, Helen, I'm sorry. Brenda's still here with us amongst us. Love you, Brenda. Sorry. So Brenda's still alive and well. So Brenda, but here's what's really cool. When Helen died, she actually had Brenda Reiner listed in her obituary as her adopted daughter at the end of that. Really, really powerful story. After I also received, like, about an hour after I posted this, I got a big, long text from Annalisa Bird, who is the wife of Joel, leading our worship this morning. She said, my mother-in-law, Kathy Carr! There's a lot of exclamation marks after. I want to stay in character. So, you have no idea the absolute joy this lady brings to my life. She is loving, accepting, and shows such unconditional love to all her children, including her in-laws. My own mother is wonderful, trust me. However, Kathy's love is an unbelievable kind of love. To be loved by Kathy is to be truly unconditionally loved. When I need her, she comes running. Even when I tell her I'm fine or know she can't help me because I want her to rest because she helps so many, she's still right there beside me, ready to help, no questions asked. She loves my son Robert just as her own flesh and blood grandchild, and I'm so grateful to her for doing so. Just know that words fail me when I am asked to talk about how wonderful this woman truly is. The last one is actually a friend of mine from back home. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee. And this was the roommate of my little brother in college who, while he was taking summer classes, would end up staying with us. His name is Brennan. And he wrote, Casey, I'm going to have to say that your own mom is one of the greatest examples of this in my mind. She threw me birthday parties at her house. She let me have full and unlimited access to the refrigerator, which we had to restocked several times, asked questions about my relationships and my faith, and she even made me a key to your house and told me to just let myself in anytime. This was coming from a guy who grew up in North Carolina, so home was a long way away, but it was also coming from a guy whose mom abandoned him when he was about 8 years old. And so this came from a real deep place in his heart. And so these stories have this profound effect of who these people are in our lives. Now, I want you to go to 2 John. 2 John is really, really short, very, very brief. But his message is still very powerful. That's what Jeff opened up our scripture from this morning. He said, I'm writing to the chosen lady and to her children. He's writing to a mom. Whom I love in the truth, as does everyone else who knows the truth, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you have heard from the very beginning. If you don't take anything else away from this lesson, I hope you do understand this and take this away. The best mentors, the best teachers, the best coaches, the best leaders, the best fathers, the best mothers, they're not the ones with the most accolades. They're not the ones with the highest education. They're not the ones with the most experience. They're the ones who know how to love the best. Plain and simple. You want to be great at leading other people, then love them unconditionally. So, I want to spend just the next few minutes, very short period of time, I want us to exercise this here and now. So if you wouldn't mind, stand up for me. Everybody stand up. No, there's no more flowers handed out. You don't have to worry about that. Okay? But we're going to do something really, really unique. I want you to kind of take a look around in the auditorium right now. I want you to look at and see if you see a spiritual mother. Hopefully you have more than one. And we're going to spend a few minutes. I want you to go to that person. And I want you to express your thankfulness and appreciation for that person. However, here's a few things I do want to add to that. Please, it's kind of understood that your mom is one of those people. So if you were about to turn and look at your own mom, just look at them, just nod like, yeah, it's you. And skip on and go to somebody else, okay? That's not the point. You'll spend the rest of your day honoring your mom. Other thing, some of you probably have spiritual moms who either went to first service or are not here. They live somewhere else besides San Antonio. I know for me, I've got several in different areas. Feel free to pull out your phone and send them a text and tell them thank you. And if you are a first-timer here or you're not a regular here and you're thinking, I don't know like anyone here, feel free to just stand and smile and we will come and greet you and thank you for joining us this morning, okay? Because I know that might feel a little uncomfortable, but we're going to spend the next 3, 4, 5 minutes just thanking our spiritual mother. So go ahead and mingle amongst each other and thank people for the impact they've had in our lives. All right, if you don't mind, we'll start making your way back to your seats. I'm going to wrap this thing up so we can get to our communion time, which is my personal favorite. So I guess what I want to say is people are still kind of making their way back to their seats. Thank you so much. I know some people who maybe new to the congregation or just visiting from out of town. I hope you took the time to pull out your phone and text some of those people that had a big, profound effect on you. Because for me personally, like there were times when I was like with my mom on Mother's Day, and she would get a text from one of my friends talking about how much they appreciated her, and then she'd start crying, be like, "It's the best Mother's Day gift ever!" And I'm sitting there like, "Well, I'm taking my gift back. No, I don't." I'm not giving that to you. But that has a huge, huge, profound effect on all of us in so many different ways. So kind of to summarize so much of this, I think that each passage that we've read has a simple message to each one of them. If you look at Ruth, if you look at what she says to Naomi, the passage that we can take, the thing that we can take away is to follow faithfully. Like Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. That is a faithful follower right there. From 2 Timothy, after Paul gives reference to Lois and Eunice, he then says, but God did not give us a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Because he's about to tell Timothy to speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be someone who follows God, we need to be people who are willing to speak boldly, even the difficult messages that the Bible teaches us. And in John says it throughout his letters, but in 2 John he says it pretty plainly again, love one another, love deeply. So when we look at all three of these passages, who exemplifies these three qualities better? Go ahead and go to the next slide. Than mothers. To follow faithfully, to speak boldly, and to love deeply. If there's three things that I think I might have learned from my mother better than anyone else, it was probably these three, and that came from my mom. Finally, in closing, if you look back at 2 John, he addresses the letter at the very beginning. It says, to the chosen lady and to her children. Most scholars will agree that the chosen lady was not to any one physical woman. It was actually addressed to the chosen lady as in the church, and her children being those members within the church. Therefore, if we are members and we are children of this, then we call the bridegroom of the church our Father, whom is Jesus Christ. If we want to have a true relationship with the church and with the faith, we can be as connected to one another as we want. We can love each other. We can do fellowship meals and Bible classes and Super Bowl parties and 4th of July fireworks together. But if we don't have Jesus at the center of it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. So today we are thankful for our mother, the church. But even more so, we are thankful for a father whom we call Jesus. Here in just a few minutes, we're going to have elders and our shepherds and their wives, whom for many of us are spiritual mothers. They're going to be at the back. If you'd like prayers for anything, You're sick. You have a job thing coming up. You're struggling with something spiritually. The shepherds are in the back, and they are there for private prayer. They will not broadcast what happened to anyone. Okay? But if you want the church to pray entirely for you, I'll be up front. You're welcome to come forward, and we'll take you in with open arms, and we will collectively as a body pray for you as well. If we can help you in any way, feel free to come to the front or to the back as we stand and sing this next song.